recorded live.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only, so call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, fellas, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is many marriage mistakes most men make. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. Many marriage mistakes most men make. First mistake, being slightly addicted to pornography. Is that a mistake, being slightly addicted to pornography?
It's a huge mistake.
Okay. I said slightly addicted now, brother, so go ahead and clarify, but I did say slightly.
There's no such thing as slightly.
Listen, Speak on it, brother.
Hey, listen, and I said huge, man, and I'm going to tell you why, man. I mean, you know, when you get married, those honeymoon days, they're fantastic. But then you got those days where football game's on, she's upstairs asleep, football game's over, you know, flipped over to skin a match. Then all of a sudden, you done pulled the laptop out, and everything you see on the laptop advertisement is pornography. So now you just go to one page, and next thing you know, you stuck on there for 3-4 hours. Looking at pornography because you can. It's easy access. There's no sneaking around. You don't need to go and pull out the DVDs from or the VHSs from the corner, collect the dust off of them. You can just look right there at your computer in the corner.
Yeah, one brother said there's no such thing as slightly. Either you're addicted or you're not, right?
That's it. Either it's controlling you or you got control of you.
There you go. But what about other addictions such as, as far as mistakes, as far as smoking cigarettes, drinking too much, or even doing drugs? Is that a mistake?
No, weed is good.
The weed is good.
I'm just kidding, man.
Well, how can they be mistakes, you know, when it comes to marriage?
You know, I think anything that controls you is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be work. Anything that controls you is a problem. You know, and, you know, if if you don't subdue it and it subdues you, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then you aren't focusing, it's focusing you. And all you're thinking about is, well, you know, when I get home, I get my next fix, whatever it happens to be, or wherever get, you know, whether it be pornography or drugs or alcohol or, you know, even an affair, you know. And affairs are mental more than physical.
Mm-hmm.
You start in the mind. You know, you start thinking about, you know, some other chick, and that's where it starts. It never starts with, you know, you laying the wood.
So you're saying that having an emotional affair can be a mistake in a marriage?
Big time. That's where it starts. I mean, you know, you don't walk down the street, slip on a banana peel, and stick your schlong in a chick. It starts in your mind. Ain't no accident. I mean, you're thinking about it. You're planning it. And all the bells are going off saying you shouldn't do it. And you decide, well, you know, a little taste won't be so bad.
Mm.
I've been there, I know.
Good words. Anybody else want to disagree with that? Just having an emotional affair as being a mistake? I mean, you didn't touch her. Is that a mistake, having an emotional affair?
Well, I think it is, because every affair starts as an emotional or a mental affair. Like I said, you're not just walking down the street, you know, and have a mistake and slip on a banana peel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you start thinking about it, you start doing all kinds of things, then you start planning it, and the next thing you know, you're up in the sauce.
Mm. Good words.
That's from my experience.
Yeah, it's definitely a mistake.
Well, I guess we can just be led to believe that having a jump off on the side is a mistake, you know, other than the emotional part, but literally having a physical affair. Some might argue that, you know, that's not a problem.
That's not a problem as long as it's just some booty.
I mean, it could be some booty on the side and with no emotions attached.
Yeah, that's cool, but as long as the emotions aren't there, it's all right. Try that one on your woman. Emotional, it's just a physical.
You say it's a D thing.
Christine be like, oh, that's all right.
As long as you don't care about her, it's all good.
Right. Do you love her?
No. You know her last name.
Right. Anybody else? Emotional, physical affair, anything wrong with that?
I think that's the big stuff, man. That, I mean, that's obvious. You don't even got to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to say that. It's obvious.
Well, I can go even bigger. What about not practicing safe sex while cheating and bringing a temporary or permanent STD in the household?
You just went full blast, didn't you?
Pretty much. Since y'all being quiet, I mean, I figure, you know, we just start this thing off right. I mean, you know, if you're going to cheat, you know, at least don't bring something back. I mean, I would suspect, but we know it happens, right?
Hey, I got one better. When you bring another kid in for another woman.
Mm. Wow. That never happens. That never happens.
Yeah, right. We had them sitting on our couch.
Mm.
That's deep, man. You know, and I've seen women, literally, with my own eyes, seen women stick by their man. But I don't know if a man can deal with that one.
Mm. It's tough.
I mean, I don't know many men that could be okay with somebody bang or somebody having how do we say this to keep this clean?
Banging is cool.
Banging that woman and she getting pregnant and having a baby and you raising it. I just a whole lot of dudes being okay and getting to the point of forgiveness on that one.
Mm.
So I have seen women with my own eyes get to that point. I think there's something different inside of a man that he can't deal with that one.
Good words, good words. Anybody else?
I think Tony could probably deal with that. What do you say, Tony?
Tony, there? Hmm?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just waiting for a serious question.
Okay, all right. You want me to get serious? All right. I'll get serious then, brother. How about this? When they're talking about mistakes, blatantly treating your biological children better than your stepchildren. Is that serious enough?
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you like to answer that, sir? Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't. There's no way you can do that. I mean, you know, even though, I mean, everybody's got to be equal. If you're not prepared for everybody to be equal, don't get into that kind of situation.
Yeah, but Tony, you really have to be really upfront with it, okay? Your heart is never exactly the same.
No, no. And you have to, it's a gradual thing. But those are things that you have to fight within.
That's right.
You can't fight, you can't be openly. You know what I mean?
That's
right. that's one of the demons that you have to deal with within. But it can't affect the children involved.
That's
period.
Exactly right. You know,
the whole key, the effectiveness of the children, because you know they didn't ask to be here. That
exactly.
Was between you and her.
No doubt. You know, but you got to be honest, and you got to face the facts that no matter how much you love that stepchild, it's not the same.
I mean, because sometimes it's flipped.
Sometimes
the stepchild gets more attention and more love than the biological.
And
that
you know what?
Too.
And here's the bottom line.
And I've seen that.
Even blood children aren't exactly the same.
Sure.
Okay. You always have a child that you relate more to.
Yeah.
But they can never feel a difference.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could have a girl. That's your biological child. Always wanted a boy. Hook up with the next female that's got a boy, and there you go. Now you got your son, and you know, and he gets all the attention.
Wow.
So it's either way it could happen.
Yep.
Good words. What about spoiling the kids, biological or stepchildren? Is that a mistake? Spoiling the kids?
Well, you got to define spoiling.
Giving them everything they want. And you can afford it.
Well, then you got the Lindsay Lohan situation.
Yeah, they got to earn something, man.
Yeah, freedom without responsibility is a train wreck.
Hmm.
And I don't care, you know, what your means are. If somebody has the benefit without the responsibility, it's a train wreck.
Mm-hmm. What about spoiling the wife?
I love to spoil my wife.
So that's different.
Oh, yeah.
How's that different?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, my wife doesn't have to earn it. When I pledged my love to her, it was everything I had, whether she was at a point or not to quote-unquote deserve it. It was because that was my pledge to God that I was going to honor my wife with whatever. And my responsibility, as I see it, is to see whatever her needs are and fill them, and even her wants. I listen to the things that she says. You know, it's hard for me to get things for my wife, because she doesn't say a whole lot, but whenever I pick something up, it goes into the memory banks.
So she doesn't want for anything that you know of?
Not that I know of, because if I know of it, she's going to get it.
Mm. That's good. Anybody else want to comment on that, spoiling the wife?
Yeah. I think that sometimes we have to be careful with that.
Okay.
The reason why I say this is because the way you started is the way you're going to have to continue throughout the whole marriage. You start off spending every day with them all the time, you know, every waking hour with them, you know, and that's what they're going to get used to. You start off shopping, going to the mall, going to, you know, buying whatever it is. That's what they're going to get used to. If your money gets funny and you can't do it anymore, you might have a problem.
Yeah, but if it's
fine,
just about money, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, well, I think that I got married to be with my wife. I mean, hey, I enjoyed being with you, Tony, and Rodney, and Patrice, and all y'all, but I like to be with my wife. But that doesn't mean I don't want to go golf. It doesn't mean I got to be there every minute.
Exactly. That's my point exactly.
You need to have a balance in your life. I mean,
in the beginning, a lot of times we put off those things that we like to spend time with them and to show them that we're going to be attentive and we're going to be, you know, the man of their dreams. So
but you ain't got to be whooped.
I don't think it's being whooped. I just think that things are done differently in the beginning, and then when all the dust settles and you're like, hey, you know what, I still want to do other things, you know, it may be a problem. I mean, I could be wrong. You know, I'm not writing a book on it. I could be wrong.
That's funny.
The book.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But I think what y'all are talking about, I guess, is would you say that being a pushover, being too much of a nice guy, you know, letting your wife have your man car, is that a mistake?
Yeah,
most definitely.
You know what that ends up in?
What?
You going to baby showers?
Yeah. You ask for permission.
You be like, yeah, I'm here at the baby shower. Then Tony be playing golf.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
You got to draw the line somewhere. I'm just saying. It may not be the baby shower for you, but you got to draw the line. You got to, you know, I mean, if it's fight night or whatever, you got to say, hey, I got to be a man. Sometimes you got to be a man. And there's things that men do that we need to be men, and we need to just not have women around. I mean, there's a different ball game when women are around, and we need to have time just to be men.
Yep.
That's just the way I see it.
I agree with you. 100%.
Good words. Anybody else?
And they need time to be women.
Yeah,
I agree. Anybody else got a comment? Speaking of babies, talking about, you know, just getting back to the topic, marriage mistakes most men make. What about marrying her just because she's pregnant?
Mistake.
Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Why so?
Why? I mean, do you love her just because she's pregnant?
What if it's not your baby?
No, let's say it is your baby.
Papa's baby, mama's baby, papa's baby.
Okay, again, do you love her just because she's pregnant with your baby?
Ooh.
I mean, is this baby going to some way miraculously bring love into this relationship? Now, if you love her, whether she's pregnant or not, that's a whole different ballgame. All right.
But we know what happens. And, what is the result of, you know, like the brother was saying, I mean, marrying her just because she's pregnant. I mean, what happens in that case?
18 years of child support. And half.
And half.
And half.
Mm-mm-mm. Anybody else?
Yeah, I missed the question.
I said, what's up, B? I said, we're talking about marriage mistakes most men make. I said, marrying her just because she was pregnant. Is that a mistake?
Yep, it is.
Why so?
I mean, it's a mistake on both parts. Because we grew up thinking that marriage is supposed to come before the pregnancy,
right?
But that's, so you know, that's already programmed in the woman's head, so she feels some sort of way. You know, that's, she wants that, that extra security. That if you're going to be there, then you might as well go ahead and, you know, be with me, marriage, blase, blase, this, that, and the third. That's programming in most women's heads, yeah.
So, so B, would you say that having sex with her before marriage is a mistake?
It is.
But they say you got to take it out for a test drive, kick the tires. I mean,
yeah, that's what my old man said too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I speak for myself.
Yeah.
I say it's wrong now, but I've been living 31 years. It'll be 32 next Monday. I sure ain't a virgin. you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of that too. You know what I mean?
Well, it's, see, not
I,
even
I
about.
I have a unique problem because I don't have kids by blood, but I do claim one.
Mm-hmm.
And because I claim one, you know, his mama think that we're meant to be. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-mm. We done tried too many times. And out of those too many times, she was the one that walked out. So, just take it for what it is and be blessed that you have somebody that take care of something that ain't his and let it be done. You dig what I'm saying?
I dig.
But for the most part, I say that, you know, women who are pregnant and they know who the father is, blah, 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 you know, yeah. It's programmed in a man and a woman head that marriage comes before the pregnancy. Even though we practice sex a whole lot before marriage, you know, a lot of us ain't thinking of that, and I'm guilty of this too. A lot of us is, you know, don't think about that when you in the midst of doing your thing. You ain't thinking about, you know, oh, what would happen if I get a pregnant. Or catch an STD, for that matter. You know, you ain't thinking about that, especially if it's good. You know what I'm saying?
But
you ain't thinking about that.
Go ahead, T.O.
How does that happen in 2011? Or 10, or 9, or 8?
How does what happen?
Getting somebody pregnant by mistake.
Man, you don't know. You don't know. I'm gonna tell you how... I was engaged last year, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you how our counselor at the time, I mean, he don't pull no punches.
Mm-hmm.
God designed sex to make it feel good, because that's what's supposed to happen between husband and wife. But at the pinnacle, at the tip top of it all, is when you have an orgasm. Many times, babies are produced because man just miscalculated from the next to the last pump. Is it not the truth? Nobody in here is a virgin, am I right?
That's right.
And I'm for certain that I'm talking to married men who do not use a rubber.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you know, all of your sex life with your wife hasn't been with a condom, correct?
That's correct.
Okay then. So when you bust, what feeling in the world is greater than that? All right then, I rest my case.
Sometimes
you don't want to pull out.
No. Still.
Hold on. Go ahead.
There's birth control on both parts.
That's true.
There's birth control on both sides.
Look, let me tell you something. The last one I was with, okay, now I ain't trying to be graphic, but she was in a position to where I couldn't pull out. And I'm telling her, yo, I'm about to, you know, whatever, whatever. And she wouldn't let up. You understand what I'm saying? So
we understand.
Both have the responsibility to be like, look, you know, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? And that's like I said, that's my life. I don't know about y'all, but that is the single most greatest feeling in the world.
I got one better. When the test results come back and she ain't pregnant.
That's the greatest feeling. That's good.
I don't get it, though. Hey, let me
ask y'all a question. I got a lady friend who won't. Do y'all still do the female version of this every Tuesday?
We do not.
Okay, I was wondering because I told her about it. She was interested. That was her calling. I guess I'll hit it back later.
Yeah.
Somebody was trying to say something.
He didn't get it. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it. I mean, we're talking about having affairs, right? Like, if you, how are you having an affair on your wife or whoever and not using a condom? I get the whole, you know, busting and pulling out and everything. That applies when it is your wife. But why on earth would you be risking getting somebody pregnant that's not your wife? I just, that is what I don't get.
But once again, you're not thinking about that when you're in the heat of the moment.
Most men.
Why are you running up at a girl that's not your wife without a freaking condom on?
But you're right, though. You're right. That makes no sense whatsoever. Yo, I got a homegirl that lives in Atlanta, you know, and, you know, she was once married to a guy who works for, well, he played for the Falcons, now he works for the Falcons in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a little paper, man. She was telling me about him. Man, this dude got 11 kids in a 6-year period. And she only has 2 by him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like I said, some men just don't care. I mean, real talk. And, you know, it's a credibility thing with me. I mean, you got 11 kids in a 6-year period, and got a wife at home?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he hit it very well.
Hey, guess what, though? You said something important a little bit ago that will draw this up, is that it takes both of you, even when you're in the heat of passion, to be mindful that, hey, if we're not using any protection, that at the end of the day, we're going to have to pull out and watch it shoot somewhere, you know, in a napkin or...
I got to play better, but it's all good.
I mean, everybody remembers when they were younger, where they wait after the fact and say, hey, you on the field?
That's too late.
Yeah, you wait till after the fact. But you know, the 2 point is, if you gonna have sex even with your wife, if you gonna have sex and y'all want kids, you gotta be responsible.
I'm stuck on getting pregnant by mistake.
I think that's what T-Hawk was talking about.
Hey, I like your mentality. You know what I'm saying? That's real.
For sure.
I like his mentality, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, most men don't think about that.
Yeah.
They ain't thinking about the fact that, you know, 18 years. I say 18 years. It's a lifetime. You still had to deal with his mama one way or another.
For sure.
Or his daddy, whatever the case may be. You still had to deal with him. You know what I mean? So 18 years, that's a lifetime. This is probably one of the reasons why it's still wrong to have premarital sex, because God knew that this would happen.
Well, BJ, let me back it up one step. Let me rewind a little bit. What about shacking up before marriage? Is that a mistake?
Same thing. Because you know that's going to lead to the same thing. Yes.
Yeah, so you're saying if you shack up with her, you guarantee, you know, be laying in the bed next to her. You know, you can sleep in the other room.
Man, look, that's not shacking up then.
That's not shacking up. That's roommates. With right. No benefit. Well,
that's not shacking up. I'm gonna tell you what. Like I said, I was with old girl last year.
Yeah.
She stayed. We both stayed at my grandmother's house in Warren County.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit there chilling. My grandma said she's going to bed. And she turned
around. Hello. Hello. You good?
Go ahead, you good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somebody got a sidebar conversation. Mute your phone if you have a sidebar. You want to get in here? Go ahead, B.
No, I'm saying, you know, she was like,
wait,
okay, where you sleeping at?
Mm-hmm.
She was like,
We can hear you, bro.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
My bad.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, B.
No, you know, my grandma, I put it like this. My grandmother don't play that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She slept in one side of the house. I slept in the other.
Yeah.
I mean, even when my old man got married the third time, same thing. She had to sleep in one side of the house. He had to sleep, you know, my grandma don't play that.
Well, you're talking about shacking up, though, right?
I'm talking about shacking up, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Rodney, again, I mean, to each his own. Some people do it, some people don't. Some people feel as though they definitely want to test drive it. I'm not saying that's a bad idea, because I did it. But, you know, I think it's a judgment call.
I think the statement was on here. He said it right, man. You got to test drive this thing before you put this thing in with your last name on it, because you got to get together and then realize that it's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
Hold on, say that again?
Yeah, I said shacking up. We're talking about shacking up, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, I agree with the shacking up before getting married. I mean, I did it. And
I did it, 13 too.
13 years later, I'm still here.
Yeah.
But, you know, we sat together. We were able to get the bills and stuff done. We were able to get a head start on what we wanted to do with our relationship. And she knew my faults and I knew hers. There's those things that you don't find out, you know, when they cover up because you're coming over for the weekend and then you go home to your spot, or you cover up when she comes over for the weekend, you clean up real good, make sure the house is, but you really like to drop your clothes off and pick them up the next morning. Those little things that we do probably still to this day, you find out about that person.
So you're saying that shacking up is a good idea and not a mistake?
I think it's an okay idea. I mean, if you don't, then that's cool with you, but I think it's a good idea.
So you would advise your children to shack up?
I don't think it's a mistake.
Huh?
I don't think it's a mistake.
So you advise your children to shack up?
Well, I mean, you know, when your children are a certain age, is only going to be with so much advising you're going to do.
Exactly.
That wasn't the question, though. You got to answer that question.
Yeah. What would you, if they came to you and say, you know, I'm going to make my own decision, Pops, but what do you think I should do?
Again, I'm not going to dictate. You raise your kids the way you raise them. But when they get to a certain age, it doesn't matter what you say. I can say, okay, I don't want you to shack up. I would not advise them to do it, but if they did it, I would not be in a right mind to say it's a mistake because I did it. You see
what
I'm saying? I'm not gonna say go out there and shack up, but I did it. So you know.
Well, be honest. So you're not gonna say and shack up at the age of 18.
No, not at all.
No.
Why not? If someone is considering, you know, they think they're with somebody, they want to get married. You just said test driving is a good thing. Why should age really matter?
Age matters, man. Age matters. 18,
nah, it's the first
you may
school.
Not even be working. You may not even have your own place at 18.
You ain't lying about that.
I mean, that, all
saying?
That might be true, so I don't understand why is it okay at 30, but it's not okay at 18.
Right.
No, I'm saying.
Okay, so hold on. You
going
to tell a 30-year-old what to do?
Right.
You can't tell no 18-year-old what to do. You can't tell
That's
me.
What I just said. That's exactly
well,
what
no,
I just
it's
said.
It's about what you advise, though. I don't understand how we can say it's a good idea on one hand.
No, we didn't say it was a good idea. I said I'm not saying it's a mistake. I'm not going to tell somebody,
that.
Oh, you wrong, dude, you know, for doing that. You know, you a grown man. Make up your own decision.
So I mean, as far as the kids, you would hope as a parent that you would teach them a you know how to think about doing stuff before they do. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what you would hope you would do as a parent. But it's all gonna come down to that to your child, regardless of what you say, yay or nay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just hopefully that you know if. The kid thinks that they're ready to do that, to, you know, to put a little practice in or whatever before the big show, fine. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? However, I can't tell my kid no or yes. You know what I'm saying? He's going to do what he want to do.
That's right.
But hopefully I will put him, I have him in a good mindset anyway as a youngin' to think about what he does before he do it.
Yeah, and I agree with that because, I mean, just for me personally, well, my wife and I was dating in college. She had her place, I had my place. Once we got engaged and we graduated from school, once I got a job, she wanted to be where I was because we lived in different states. So I said, come on. I'm not going to
right.
come to a different state and get an apartment because I don't think we need to shack up until we get married. So, I mean, it just depends on the situation. But we were out of school. We had graduated from college. And we're at the point where we were, you know, jobs, and we said there's nobody else who's going to be part of this relationship but us two. So, and she had a ring on her finger. If you don't have a ring on your finger, then, you know, it's just a situation. If you don't put a ring on that person's finger, I don't think you should be shacking up.
But I think
now flip it back to the host. What do you think, Mr. Host?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, brother, because I was about to, because, I mean, y'all put a lot of stipulations on it. Y'all had age, whether she's old enough, he or she's old enough, now it's whether there is a ring involved.
No. I'm just asking you, Mr. Host.
I'm about to speak on it, brother.
Okay.
And the reality is when I was...
It's locked up.
Yeah, when when I was 21, I was engaged to my wife. I mean, my fiance at the time, my wife now, college sweethearts and all that. And we were engaged, and we had planned the wedding, and I said, well, you know, we'll just shack up. I said, let's just shack up and then get married a year later, because there's no need us going up to Metro D.C. and having two apartments. And for those of you who know the area, it's very expensive, you know, especially you going to entry level right out of college. You know, it's like,
Stipulation.
Hey, exactly.
Stipulation, but go ahead.
So let me finish. So my wife was like, my fiance at the time was like, I'm not shacking up with you, period. And I was like, well, are you playing? You know, you're really not serious. We're going to get this apartment together and you're going to move in. So bottom line, she said, I'm serious, Rodney. I'm not shacking up with you. And you can either take that, we can continue in this relationship, and or you can have your ring back and you can step, brother. And she was serious. So, lo and behold, we did not shack up. We moved the wedding date up further so that when we got out of, you know, we got married 2 months out of college. And so, I mean, that's what happened to me. I wanted to shack up, but my wife was like, I'm not shacking up with you because I don't do that. And you can step if you don't like it.
There you go. So is it a mistake?
So wait a minute. So I have two daughters.
Sure.
And if they're 18 or 30, ring involved or not, if they come to me and say, Dad, what do you think I should do? I'm going to say, honey, I didn't shack up. We didn't shack up. I advise you not to shack up. And
but
even
that's not
if
the
I did
story.
Shack up. Listen, even if we did shack up, even if it was different and we still got married, we still had the kids, I would still advise her not to do it.
I understand that, Roddy, but that's not telling her the whole story. we didn't shack up. I wanted to shack up, but your mother said no.
No, but listen, what I say, even if we did shack up, my answer would be the same to her if she came to me with advice. My answer would be the same in my current situation that we didn't, or rewind the tape and we did. My answer would be the same. Don't do it.
Okay, but something changed. Something
changed
from the point when you were, when you wanted to shack up till today.
Yes, and you know what changed? Maturity.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, I'm 34 years old now. You know, but I was 21 then. I didn't know any better. You know, and the thing is that, as we said, you know, a lot, probably all of us have been, maybe not all. I'm not going to generalize the whole group here tonight. But the fact of the matter is you're reluctant to go ahead and put that stamp on it. You know, y'all putting the stipulation on age and, you know, the ring is involved and how long you've been together and is it a monogamy? I mean, it's a lot of stipulation.
Sure.
But there was some hesitance because y'all know, and we talked about this before. I don't mean belabor this point. You know, we
sure.
got other stuff to talk about. But, you know, y'all were reluctant to say, oh, yeah, baby, you know, son or daughter, go ahead and do that. Let's help. Let's go look at the apartments tomorrow. Y'all wasn't like that. Y'all were like, well, I did it, and I guess it's okay. I mean, y'all weren't co-signing it like, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a wonderful thing. And why is that?
Okay, well, look, let me ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about shacking up and having stipulations. But let me ask just one simple question. Are there stipulations in marriage? Is marriage that cut and dry?
But I think that's, I mean, you're talking
about
marriage.
If your 17-year-old daughter comes and say, I want to get married, are you going to give her the same advice you would give to her if she was 30?
17?
Yeah, 17.
Or 18. Well,
oh, no, she ain't getting married.
Let's go 18. Let's go 18. You're going to give her the same advice, 18, as you would do if she was 30.
No.
Wait. Exactly. So she comes to you at 18 about shacking up, but you're going to tell her the same thing if she was 30?
Yes.
No.
When it comes to shacking up, yes. When it comes to marriage, no. Because marriage is a different thing. You know, marriage is a whole, I mean, you're in a different ball game. You know, that's the real deal. That's lifetime commitment till death do us part. You know, you just sign your name on a lease, you know, you can get out of that.
Wow.
Yep. Hello.
Get out of that, right?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. All right. There you go.
You can get
long-term
out
commitment, short-term commitment.
When can you get out of the lease without paying some additional money, which she going to come to you for?
Ain't no alimony in
the
lease.
What's money? All you got to do is fork up the money to break the lease. As long as you
and
got
you
the
out.
Money, it's not a problem. You out. I want to get back. This is going great. I want to get back to, I want to stay on kids a little bit. Having kids with her too soon in the relationship, is that a mistake?
Having kids too soon?
Too soon in a relationship. Y'all meet, you date, and, you know, a year later, y'all got a newborn.
Yeah, of course it is too soon. If y'all ain't married, yeah, it's too soon. Yeah, I mean, any baby before marriage is too soon. Too soon.
Well, what about after marriage?
After marriage, yeah, that all depends on the couple. I can't speak
after
for the couple.
After marriage, you married, so you can get it the day after you marry.
You know?
Oh, wow.
Right after the limo, right?
Let's think about it, man. You know how honeymoon night is. It's all about that thing.
But would you, but P-Town, would you say that, would you advise that to, you know, being that it is, everything is legit now, they're married, would you say, yeah, go ahead and, you know, young couple, you know, go ahead and start having some babies?
I don't think any couple goes through and say, we're going to have a baby tomorrow right when they first get married. I mean, once you get married, I mean, a lot of people try to plan it.
Right, but would you tell them it's okay? Would you advise them to start planning 1 or 2 years in, newly married, newlywed couple? Would that be a good idea, or would that be a mistake?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on where you are and what you have done. If you haven't shacked up and you need to get your finances together and, you know, y'all looking for a job or you're looking for an area for where you want to live, then, you know, keep popping them condoms out. But if you're married, if you shacked up, y'all been living together for 2-3 months, years, whatever, and you got yourself together, and you ready to start kids because you want
four kids, and you're going to start at the age 24, then go for it. I mean, some people want to wait. I mean, marriages are happening later now because people want to have fun and then get married when they're 30s and start thinking about kids.
Are these kids married and out of your house at this point? Is that what we're talking about?
No. We're talking about you just getting married and, you know, you...
But your kids...
This year or 5 years from now.
But you're
talking,
about advise. You said advise.
Yeah,
Advise your children.
Yeah,
is that the question?
I think I misspoke, but that was part of the question. What I was originally getting at is that a mistake that some men make? And then what I said as part of that, as a subset of that question, I asked, what would you advise your children? But the original question was, do some men make the mistake of, I'm talking about a newlywed, a guy that's 25, 26 years old, that got married 3 months ago, and now she's pregnant. Would you say that's a mistake?
No.
That all depends on, like I said, that all
depends
on
them. They grown.
Yeah,
you put that ring.
Right.
You put that ring on there, ain't no mistake.
Ain't no mistake. They grown. They done made this, the decision to get married. It's a wrap after that.
I'm looking at it different. You know what I'm saying? Inside the marriage, let's say if I get married and, you know, we know financially we're not ready to have a kid, but boom, she you know, at the dinner table, she's like, baby, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, she on top of you and you can't get off. She can't get
off.
Right.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? You know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, da-da-da. Because it's 18 years, it's because I wasn't prepared to have this child.
Right, right.
And that's inside of a marriage. So it all depends on the couple.
Right.
If you're planning for it, you're saving money for it, or, you know, your career may be taking off, you want to stack a little cheese, you want to get settled into whatever place y'all stay at, da-da-da-da-da. Then, okay, once that's all said and done, that's all taken care of, bam, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
That's just with a child or twins or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
See, the problem with you know, my family, see, my old, look, I'm 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got a brother who's 33. I got a sister who is 28. I also have a little brother who is 16 years old. You see the gap?
They waited too long.
You know what I'm saying? You see the gap? My father's third marriage, they had a kid before they got married.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And they haven't held the pay right now.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, brother.
My question is this, right? How can you consider any child that is born a mistake? Because it was already predestined that it was going to be before that time anyway. So when you say mistake, I don't really understand that because, you know, regardless of whatever you enter into, it was already known what it was going to be. So I don't believe any child to be a mistake.
Yeah, and I agree with that too, B, and welcome back. But I'm just talking about, I guess, more in the essence of planning. And,
right.
You know, and why I say that is because in my case, you know, I just say, you know, we just talked about shacking up. We didn't shack up. We got married. At that point when we got married, we had been together for 4 years. In a healthy monogamous relationship, and you know what everybody told us?
I heard it.
Y'all go ahead and start having kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, because I think what the mistake is that I don't think that men, nor some, a lot of women too, I don't think that we realize how much the toll of having children can have on a marriage.
Right.
And back then, you know, when I was newly married, if I wanted to go get some ice cream or go to the movies, I could just do it, you know, and I like that. Whereas now, I don't go to the movies.
And the strange part about it is, I was listening to you. I've been on here since the beginning.
Yes, sir.
And the strange part about it is that, you know, you guys are talking about, you know, backing up or sleeping with. Is it okay to sleep with a woman before the time? And I don't know. I know a lot of us have done it.
Yeah.
But then what we really have to understand is, right, In the eyes of God, every time we you know, we do these things, especially every person that we've been with is our wife in the eyes of God. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
before, even before you got married to your wife. So technically, that's why they say it's preferably they would prefer you not to have intimacy before marriage, because like the woman at the well, and he said, "Where's your husband?" And she said, "You got." He said, "You got many of them." Because he said,
right.
Yeah, because she was sleeping with a rack of people. So basically, what he's telling you is that every person that you become intimate with, technically, that person that you venture into is your wife. So you carry that spirit with you.
Good words. And what about you know, leaving, you know, when it was still talking about the children, but is it in marriage, do men make the mistake of leaving the child rearing primarily up to the woman? Is that a mistake? You just come in, you know, to do the disciplinary thing, or, you know, when they need a new bike or, you know, a big purchase or something like that. But as far as the day-to-day, do you think men make the mistake of just leaving that responsibility up to the woman, primarily up to the woman?
Hey, I believe that's TV feeding, that's everybody feeding it to, you know, TV and movies and whatnot, man. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't treat my kid that way. You know what I'm saying? I don't. You know, I mean, I'm very disciplined, and I will discipline him. You know what I'm saying? But I'm very involved when I'm around him. Not just, you know, I get off the road and, you know, I come see him and take him out of the dive and that's it. No, I'm very involved. So I think that's the image that TV has given a lot of us. You know what I'm saying? This is what a man does. This is what a woman does, man. You know how good it feels for a father to be interactive with their kids in every way? You know what I'm saying? That means the kid, it molds that kid's mind to be positive. You know what I'm saying? That when he gets older, he will be a better man than his daddy. That's the whole point of a father being there for his son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That way, that's my opinion.
So would you say it's a mistake to try harder to be father of the year instead of husband of the year?
I say it's an even keel.
Is it even?
I say it's an even keel. Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta be. I look at it like this. It all depends on what the wife thinks. If the wife wants you to be proactive with the kids or the child or whatever the case may be, and she understands that. I mean, fully understands that, then yeah. Then she, you know, it ain't nothing that she can say that, you know, that her husband wasn't there for their children. You know what I'm saying? And that's a part of being a husband.
Yeah,
I think it's part of being a husband.
I got to tell you, BJ, I don't think that, I think you have to do the order as it is that, you know, God first, wife second, and then family. You know? Because the wife, if you're not doing your job with the wife, everything else is in disarray.
Like just like I said, I mean, it has to be understanding there. Because every woman ain't the same, and every woman don't think the same either. Especially when they are married, that's a whole different creature. So if I'm with a woman, if I'm married to a woman who likes to spend time with her husband. You know, and do things for the kids second, then fine. If it's the other way around, as long as I'm there for the kids, you know what I'm saying? We get and our quality time can take a back burner every once in a while. If she's cool with that, fine. See, it all depends on who you're with, because every woman ain't the same, dog. Every woman is not the same. Every woman ain't. Period.
Good words. Anybody else? What about is it a mistake do men, is this a marriage mistake most men make, not helping out around the house enough, or when you do help out, helping out half-assed?
You know, I
gotta bleep that on the, you know, on the edit. But I mean, really, do we make the mistake of not helping out around the house, and when we do, helping out half-assed? You know, and I speak to myself, you know, I had to clean the shower, I had to clean the whole bathroom, but, you know, the shower,
You know, I call my shower Floyd Mayweather because it's undefeated against me as far as, you know, it being clean to my wife's standards. So,
face packy out in.
Yeah. So, I mean, but every time my wife is just like, you know, that everything else is clean. But, you know, but I just don't do a good job cleaning the shower because I just cannot do it. I can't get it clean enough to her satisfaction, you know, so I just do it and just scrub a little bit and then just, I know I ain't do an efficient job because I just can't, you know, I can't do it. So, but what about you? I mean, is not helping out around the house, is that a mistake we men make? That's, you know, quote unquote, woman's work. Go ahead, bro.
Yo, so funny that you just said that. You don't even understand. Saturday.
No, hold on. Before you say that. It's me because I'm at your door. I got a new snap. Go ahead, brother. This Saturday.
You don't even understand how you're at my door. I had to be to work at a certain time Saturday.
Yeah.
And I had enough time to clean the bathroom. So I did it. Shirt and tie, everything. Got shirt and tie. I'm in there cleaning the bathroom. Because it had to be done.
Yeah.
My wife calls me up and says that she went to the eye doctor because she got some bleach in her eye.
Oh, no.
Right? Nah, just... It's all good. It, you know, something small. And the doctor said, how did you get it? She said, because she had been cleaning the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I got in and I was like, okay, how did you get bleach in your eye cleaning the bathroom when I had cleaned it? She said, well, you ain't really clean.
Mm-hmm.
And just like your wife, she went behind me and cleaned it to her satisfaction.
Yeah.
Listen, we all got them wives that go behind you after
go
you
go behind
do it.
You and clean it, yeah.
So that's, and then they wonder why we sit on the couch and don't do it when they want us to do it.
Sure.
Yeah, because we just can't do
it. They're going to go right behind us.
So would it be better to not do nothing at all than to have
essence? I don't know. I still ain't figured it out yet, B.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I think it is? I think it's best to stay in the lane.
There's going
to
be a cold night, so... What a cold night. Yeah, you know, that's on you. But
I think it's best to stay in your lane, Patrice. Whatever it is that you do, like you, I mean, if it's doing the yard work, if it's doing, you know, whatever it is, repairing, whatever it is that you do, I think that's what we need to do. Do what we say we're going to do, opposed to, you know, trying to do everything that they want us to do.
Yeah, and that's good words, T-Hawk. Thank you for that. Because, yeah. Speaking of lawn work, you know, yard work, do men make the mistake of thinking that the grass is greener on the other side?
Wait a minute, hold on. Can I speak about the other thing?
Go ahead, bro.
Because I was trying to get in, I didn't realize my phone was still on mute. My wife and I just had an argument about the fact that I don't clean up around the house on Saturday as well. But I'm listening to y'all, and I thought I was the only one. Like, I don't clean up because it's not to her standards.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I start washing the dishes or something like that, she'll just about like stand over my shoulder to look and see what I'm doing. I put the dishes down and be like, all right, go ahead, finish that up. You know, and then she'll get upset. I'm saying, like, don't, you know, she'll do like the white glove treatment. Like, I still see something over there. Like, look, don't do that. And I personally have a problem with that. But I mean, I'm not a good cleaner like she is. She had a house spotless, but
yeah,
I think I clean like a man.
You know, I think we're all there, fella, and I think that what you said is key. But, I mean, have you ever articulated that there and said, honey, you know what I mean? Because it happens to me, too, you know, whether it's washing the dishes or whatever the case may be, cleaning the shower. But, I mean, have you ever articulated, like, you know what, that really doesn't, you know, help me, you know, by you standing over my shoulder or going behind me and checking and then coming back and say, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't. I mean, have you ever articulated that to her so she knows that she's aware of what she's doing?
We articulated it very loudly on Saturday.
And how many times you articulate that it is not A, it's going to still happen. So that's why I say, well, you know, when you fuss, I just let you fuss because I'm not going to sit up here and do all the work and then you go right behind me and then you go, no, I ain't got time for it.
Right.
So, you know.
You might as well do it yourself.
I'm going to leave it where it is, and you just going to fuss at me. I take the fussing and keep it moving.
Yeah, good words, good words.
She's going to do it anyway. She's going to fuss regardless. If you clean it, she's going to be mad because you missed it.
Yeah, I got to give my wife some credit because she's actually done better, you know, with holding her tongue, you know, when it comes to how clean or how not clean the shower is. And because the rest of the bathroom is fine, you know, so it's just like that one area I still have some trouble with. But I told her, I articulated that's discouraging, you know, for her to say that. It doesn't help me. It doesn't want me to make me to want to go in there and get some extra bleach, as the brother said, or do whatever just to keep it clean. But I want to jump back to yard work and, you know, tie everything in. We talked about this briefly earlier, but do men make the mistake of thinking that the grass is greener on the other side? When it comes to the other chick, why do men make that mistake, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side?
Because it's spray painted.
Andrew, you got to explain. Some of the brothers don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, about a year ago, I was up late about 2 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I saw an infomercial, and it was for spray paint for your lawn. Said if your lawn is sick and dying, don't get it healthy, just buy this spray paint. And you know what? When we look over the fence and we look at those little honeys, you know, we don't know if it's real or if it's Memorex. And chances are it's spray painted.
Mm.
And the bottom line is there's nothing that any woman can give you that your wife can't. And I don't care how green the grass looks or even how green the grass is. Underneath the grass, there's always dirt.
Yep.
And at least you know the dirt that's under your wife's grass opposed to the next one's grass. It's just spray painted.
Good words. Good words.
But what about the wife thinking that the grass is greener from your boys or something like that? You know, your
Uh-oh.
Friend treats them better.
Uh-oh.
It's the same deal.
Same deal.
And that's just a lie from the enemy. The bottom line is that there is nothing out there that another woman or another man can give you that your spouse can't.
Well, we're not talking about ability. We're talking about willingness.
I understand that. And both of you got to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know she's capable because she was once capable. But we're talking about willing to still do these things that somebody else wants.
Right. That's when you buy the knee pads.
Oh man! Speaking of knee pads, do men make the mistake in marriage of not being vocal enough about what you want in the bedroom?
Well, I think we think that the representative is what we're getting.
But do you think that at times?
I think that's the mistake. I think we think the representative is what we're getting.
What do you mean by that, brother?
I think we buy the sales pitch.
Oh, I got you. I think they got it now.
Yeah, I think we buy the sales pitch and think that's the real deal.
So they're faking it until they make it down the altar, huh?
I think there's a lot of them that the sales pitch ain't the real deal. And they figure, well, it's competition, so I got to do what I got to do. once I got you, you know, committed, you know, you can't go anywhere. So, you know, yeah, I did that, but I didn't like it.
What'd you say? You did that, but you didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know,
yeah.
I did that for you, but I don't really like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the old okie doke. That's the sales pitch.
That's right.
Good words. Good words. Anybody else?
See, that's why you know all the shacking up and premarital. That don't mean jack.
No, that's right.
The real deal is 6 months after you said I do was going down, a year after you said I do, 2 years after you said I do, that's the real deal.
Kind of
the other stuff is just the advertisement.
So what about the real deal? 1 or 2 years later, do men make the mistake of being too conservative when it comes to sex? And what I mean by that, you know, homie, you're so predictable. I mean, same night, same time, same room of the house, and in the same old tired positions.
No, I think it'd be the woman.
I think that falls more on the woman than the dude. Because, you know, we ready to install the pole.
Yeah.
As screwdriver will travel.
Good words, good words. Anybody else?
Hey, I agree with Andrew. Without question. Yeah. A lot of times, guys are truly afraid to say what they want in the bedroom because they're afraid of the repercussions or how their woman may respond towards them after they say what they have to say. You know, repercussions. Most guys won't say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys want to admit it on the phone, but, you know, when it comes down, you know, I'm telling you, man, when it comes down to it, you know, you have to say what it is that you want because, you know, they don't have ESP, you know what I mean?
Right,
you know, and you sitting up there in your mind, calculating these things in your mind, and they not happening. Yeah, you're going to think the grass is green on the other side if somebody over there doing the things that you want without having to ask, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good word.
That's why I'm saying give it a knee pad.
There you go.
What about using Viagra without her consent? Is that a mistake?
You gone crazy. If you got to take a bottle of Viagra to hit it, brother, you better do it because somebody else will do it for you.
Taking the whole bottle.
I'll do that.
Now I've heard this one. Being too busy. Now y'all might not have heard this, but I've heard this. But being too busy, being unavailable, or falling asleep on her when she's horny.
I never heard that one.
That's a myth. A woman's myth.
That really is. I mean, because I think every guy on the phone, and I'm really probably speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure you all did this as well, woke up in the middle of the night and started making your move with her still asleep and waited until she got into the action.
Yeah.
You crept up on it in the middle of the night, whereas the women won't really do that.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't.
Sometimes, I mean, not usually, you know.
They can be like, oh, you're so disinterested. I was like, well, you know, start up. As the brother said, get the knee pads. I mean, just start up, and I'm going to catch up. You know? if I'm laying there asleep, like, don't worry about that. I'm going to wake up, you know. You're like, oh, you just seem tired. I just left you alone. Like, no. Nah. I wouldn't do that with you. You know what I mean? If I really wanted it, I'm like, oh, come on.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Get out.
We could be with the flu. Don't matter.
Yep. And I have been with the flu.
And
two broken legs.
Yeah.
Long as we're not looking for broken.
Look, we're not looking for any sympathy. Just make me feel better.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Marriage mistakes most men make. What about when it is finally time? You know, that time to get busy. Not giving her enough foreplay. You know, she calls you Mr. Wham Bam Thank You Man.
That's a big mistake. That's a huge mistake.
Speak on it, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't got to be married to do that. That's a big mistake.
Will Richard Pryor said, I got time for one or two plays. Three and four out the question.
Oh, man. But what about, you know, sometimes we forget or not even bother to try to be romantic anymore.
Yep.
You know, is that a mistake? You know, we just stop doing the things that, you know, we used to do. We used to give her flowers and write notes. You know the stuff y'all used to do. Now you're just like, eh, you know, I'll see you after you get off work.
Because we know the gunslinger's going to be doing it.
Yep.
But is it always effective?
Hmm. That's a good question, brother.
I don't know. It works for Leroy.
I mean, is it always effective this late in the game? You've been married for 10 years or whatever the case may be. You still want to be romantic. You know what I mean? Do you get hit with the, why are you being romantic? Is there something you want?
No.
I hear a lot of people say that.
Last night, my wife goes to sleep generally before I do. And last night, she packed her lunch, and I was up, and I wrote a little note to her and put it in her lunch. Lunch this afternoon. Oh, that's so sweet.
Did she call you?
I was all right. It was ready. Like, why do you think I got off the phone?
Oh, man, that's good. That's
okay,
good.
Man.
That's good. But I think Tony has a point, though. And I think it depends. And we know you, Andrew, and your wife, and y'all in a great place. I think it's where you are in a relationship, you know, because I think that if you're not in the right, you know, space, she would definitely hit you with that. What you doing to order me flowers for? You know, what do you want? You know, if she's not in a place, you know, that, you know, she can receive those flowers, you know. And I know I'm speaking to somebody, you know, because I've done it myself, you know, and my wife's like, yeah, thanks for the flowers. I was like, really? So I went on a flower fast. She didn't get flowers about 5 or 6 years.
You know, I think that's a symptom of deeper issues.
Exactly. And that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. Because it is effective as long as you...
If you haven't solved the core issues.
Right.
And the core issues are she doesn't feel your love.
Right.
That's the core issue. You may love her, but she doesn't feel it. And you haven't spoken to her in the way she needs to be spoken to, whatever her love language is. And her love tank is run dry if that's the situation. So that points to a deeper issue.
I mean, my thing is it's probably the I think Dave Chappelle said it best. I wouldn't even go. But the fact that you pay attention to her love language, you know what I'm saying? It could be whatever she likes, whether it be roses, whether it be notes, whether it be just some quality time, you know what I'm saying? So you know something spontaneous. You know what I'm saying? And that if you haven't done that in a long time, and you just waiting for anniversary or birthday or Valentine's Day, you know, I always tell, young folks to me, why wait till Valentine's Day to give her flowers or give her a balloon or a birthday? You
right.
know what I'm saying? Go out the way and do that 2 weeks before Valentine's Day to make everybody see that you love her. Or that you know, you're thinking about her, whatever the case may be.
And those are the things that matter. You know, I'm going to tell you what, like I said, I wrote that note, you know, like I said, last night, and she didn't get it till she opened her lunch this morning.
And was it her birthday or y'all's anniversary or something? Andrew. I think we lost him.
I don't know what that is. You hear me?
Oh, you know, that's B. He's on the road. I had to mute you for a second, B. Go ahead, Andrew. I said, was it her birthday or y'all's anniversary when you wrote that little note last night or whenever you wrote it?
Wasn't a birthday. Wasn't nothing like that. Just wanted to tell her I loved her and I was thinking about her and I was looking forward to seeing her. And when she got home today, you know what she said to me?
What?
She said, is the hot tub fired up?
Now that's a pimp. So So, Andrew, would you say that most men make the mistake of not doing marriage maintenance, you know, just maintaining the status quo? You know, like the brother's probably listening, you're like, I ain't writing no note. You know, she probably ball it up and throw it in the trash or wouldn't even see it, you know. But that, doing that marriage maintenance, is that key?
The marriage maintenance is exactly key, because all the other stuff, if you haven't gotten down to the core, you see, because we, you know, I found out that every woman has two primary needs. Number one, she needs to be loved, okay? And need number two, she needs to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because, you know, I grew up in a house where my father, he wasn't one of those people to come up and tell you I love you. He said, look, I put a roof over your head, I put food on the table. I don't need to tell you I love you, I don't need to hug you. Okay, well, yeah, you might love me, but I don't feel it. And so you may love your wife, but if she doesn't feel it, it doesn't matter. But you've got to figure out how she receives it so you can give it to her the way she can receive it. Once she can receive it, see, all the other stuff doesn't matter. If you're doing this stuff...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Haven't established that, number one, I love you, and number two, that she feels that love, the rest doesn't matter, because then she's looking at you sideways, what are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, then she's looking at you like, oh, you're doing this because you want something else, instead of you're doing this because you love me, and man, God has blessed me with a man that loves me and appreciates me. So you got to establish that first. Instead of, oh, he's just doing this because he wants some nookie.
So you're talking about learning how to properly communicate with your wife.
Exactly. And if you can do all the extraneous stuff, mm-hmm. but if you haven't got to the core that, you know, that she can understand that, hey, no matter what, it's not the things, it's not the this, it's not the that, it's not the sex. I love you because of who you are. And I appreciate the blessing that you are in my life. Rest of it, she's going to look at sideways and go, oh, he's just doing this because he wants to get something else.
And what happens, Andrew, if we don't do that marriage maintenance? If we just kind of just maintain and just, you know, go through the motions? What happens? What can happen?
What I've seen is that people start to feel used. Start to feel, you know, your spouse starts to feel like, you know, I'm just here for, you know, for your purposes, and I'm just, you know, I'm just either a sex robot or a cleaning robot or a cooking robot, you know, I don't feel the love, and that's what ends up really causing problems. And then, you know, Long Dong Silver comes by at the job and starts to listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that's a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off, Andrew. Go ahead and finish.
Oh, go ahead, man.
If you love someone the way you know how to love them versus loving someone the way they want to be loved, which is going to be the more genuine way to do it?
If you truly love somebody, you need to study them and see how they receive love and love them the way they receive it.
Okay, so that's the ticket.
That's the ticket, because, you know, some people, you know, they feel love. You know, some men feel love if they walk in the door and their wife has dinner on the table cooked and prepared and the house cleaned at 6 o'clock and waiting for them, that man feels like, you know what, this woman really loves me. Now, if my wife did that for me, and she does sometimes, it's okay, but that doesn't say she loves me. My wife walking in the door and saying, let's spend some time together, you know, let's get in the hot tub tonight, you know, turn the phone off and get a glass of wine. See, that to me tells me that she loves me, because I'm a person that needs quality time. So instead of having the dinner prepared and all that, now for my wife, getting in the hot tub, spending the time, that's not really her thing. But if I were to clean the house and do the laundry, I know that sounds wacky, but that turns her, she's like, oh, he loves me. Me putting that little note in her lunch told her that I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And that fed her, and what she wanted to do when she got home was to turn around and tell me how much she loved me in the way that I could receive it.
Good words, good words. So, Andrew, do you think that, or anybody, marriage mistakes most men make, do you think that we take her for granted and we're essentially ungrateful for a lot of the things that she does for us?
You know, I don't think we're ungrateful. I think we don't understand. If we don't spend the time to study our wives and see what their needs are, I think that's the mistake. I don't think we're ungrateful. I think we appreciate the things they do. I don't think we show them in the way that they need to be shown, and that's where the mistake comes.
Can you repeat what you just said?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, me? I said that I don't think that we don't appreciate the things our wives do. I think that we don't realize the way that they need to be loved. And because of that, we don't give them the love that they need, so they don't receive it that way. I think we appreciate when our wives cook for us. And I'm going to tell you what, I like a clean house. But when my wife cleans the house, it doesn't tell me she loves me. I don't receive it that way. Although,
but she might be cleaning the house because she's clean. Because, I mean, it may not have anything to do with showing you love at that point.
Well, that doesn't show me love, although I like a clean house.
Understood. And I think that
right now
we're placing a lot of emphasis on how to show them that we love them the way that they want to be shown love.
Well, T-Hawk, what I think you're getting at is, not necessarily that, but do you know who you really married? And what I mean by that is that, I mean, did you marry, a drama queen before you said I do? We've had that topic before. I mean, did you marry Dr. Jekyll or Mrs. Hyde? You know, we've had that topic before. I mean, but, you know, the bottom line, do you really know who you really married?
I mean, that may be the $64 million question for the panel. I mean, because if we all really did, there wouldn't be 55% divorce rate in this country. Because we all are still learning, and some of us don't want to learn anymore. Some people have given up learning because now the person is just somebody else.
Yeah.
And we all talk about representative. We all talk about that till we blew in the face. There is a representative that's in place on both sides.
Right.
We're all on our best behavior in the beginning. So how do you really know? Some people just don't hang around to wait for that true person to come out. Or when the true person comes out, be like, no, this is too much for me to handle. This is not what I was promised.
I think that's when you go back to the tried and true, because I said so.
Yeah. Wait, wouldn't that go back to you trying to find out early so you want to shack up with us and bring back that? You
got
to find this stuff out, man. I mean,
you got to find it out. Thank you.
It's those little things.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. You know, that might sound good, but the shacking up is still a representative.
Not until she's officially the wife, huh, Andrew?
Tell you what, because I not in this marriage, but I did that in the previous marriage. And I'm going to tell you what. You really don't know until you say I do.
Yeah.
And something changes. I don't know. Especially in a woman, I can't say for, you know, maybe it's not in a man, but especially in a woman, man, when she knows that you done, you know, that is half, something.
That's something different.
I'm telling you, and I don't know what it is, it's just something that changes, and I don't think shacking up even gives you a glimpse of what the real deal is.
But Andrew.
Because you shacking up, you can still roll out.
But, Andrew,
yeah.
Would you say that we don't recognize or either we ignore those red flags, you know, before we do say I do?
Especially if you're getting a nookie, because a nookie is like a drug. It was about a 72-hour effect where you can't see the crap.
Mm.
By the time you start seeing it, you get the nookie again.
Yeah, but that's not effective for everybody. Because if you're used to getting nookie, it's no big deal. If you ain't getting none, then of course that's the best thing since sliced bread.
Hey, talk. Come on now, man. That's when you know that brother's nose is wide open.
So you saying that's the end all to be all to get married when the nookie is 100% off the chain?
I don't know, but it messed some brothers up.
I'll tell you one thing, it's better than being in the basement.
Oh, man. Good words, good words.
I thought I heard my buddy Brian on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... He's
still there. But we're talking about marriage mistakes most men make. Bringing baggage into the marriage. Is that a mistake?
Well, first of all, we all bring baggage.
Now you're okay. Talking, Rodney. Now you're talking.
Hey, man, you know how I do this, man. You know how
you
I do this.
You told me no stops. No stops. No stops.
Yeah.
That's that map. But see, you just asked the question earlier. You said, do you know the woman that you're marrying?
Mm-hmm.
How often is there a delayed response for that baggage to be unpacked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what's important about doing things in the right order. And if you do things in the right order, and especially if you get with some good premarital counseling, they'll start to dig deep to help unpack that baggage. You see, and if you don't, then you just show up, and a lot of times that baggage, you know, hasn't been unpacked. And then, you know, 6 months, a year later, that stuff starts jumping out the suitcase.
Yeah, and just imagine, Andrew or anybody, that you start to unpack that baggage and it comes out that she was sexually abused, you know, either as a child or in her previous relationship.
You got that right.
That's going to affect your marriage.
Big time.
And you
don't know.
Exactly.
You could come out 5-6 years later.
Exactly.
But like I said, if you, you know, and now obviously people can hide stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you really, you know, one of the things, you know, we generally want to believe people and want to know the feel the best. But if you get a person that's neutral and they know what to look for and what to ask, and push the right buttons and watch for the responses, and they're not worried about the emotional, you know, backlash. That's why it's so important to really find, you know, some good premarital counseling, you know, because when I sit down with a couple, I really don't care what you think about me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, I'm going to find out about your 440 credit score. I'm going to find out about, you know, the situations, and we're going to dig all the way back and find out how you were raised and how your parents treated you and whether daddy was in the picture and all these different things, because this is the baggage that gets dragged along.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy abandoned you. Chances are, if you haven't dealt with it, you're going to have some abandonment issues, and as soon as your man isn't there for every beck and call, you're going to drop walls and all kinds of stuff's going to happen.
That's what I'm – see, there you go. You keep proving my point. That's when a person goes to see, 9 times out of 10, I'm saying, because a lot of people do not do marriage maintenance.
Right.
So 9 times out of 10, when they go to see a counselor, it's because there's a problem.
That's right.
Because that baggage has been slowly but surely being unpacked. And you're
right.
Like, what is this? What are you talking about? And
right.
You're looking at them like they got 8 heads. What do you mean? You have a problem with the way I touch you this way. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case may be. What do you mean you have a problem when I say this to you? Because something in the past is now being revealed.
Right.
But why isn't it all discussed up front is the question.
And, you know, I really think the reason is people are scared. People are scared that if you find out who they really are, you don't want to be with them.
Okay, so what's more significant? Not telling me that you've been sexually molested in your past, or me coming into the marriage not telling you that I had a vasectomy and I can't give you a baby, but you don't know that.
Yeah, and these are all situations that really need to be dealt with. And like I said, I really believe that if you have good premarital counseling and these issues are dealt with and brought to the forefront. Now, of course, anybody can lie.
Yes.
Okay, anybody can lie, you know, and they can say, yeah, sure, we can have many babies. I'd love to have babies, and never tell you. Okay, you know, or somebody could say, yeah, I've never had any kind of issues. And anybody can hide those things, and they can lie, you know. But the bottom line is when you start to delve and you watch people's reactions and how they shut down and you start to delve back into the past, that's really what premarital counseling is, getting into the past and finding out who you are.
Sure.
Okay, and finding out what made you... You know, one of the issues, and we a lot of times we talk about people. I talk about situations of, you know, if I'm in your house and there's a leak in your bathroom, you know, I can say, oh, I see the problem. Let's close the bathroom doors and get me a bunch of towels. We'll just jam them under the door. Oh, good, I stopped the leak. You know, well, sooner or later, you know, those towels are going to get soaked. And if I say, just give me some more towels, well, sooner or later, you know, the doors are going to explode and the flood's going to come through because we haven't solved the problem. But if we get to the root of the problem, if we get to the core of the problem, and usually what ends up happening when you start to touch on the core, people's reactions change and you start to delve into that. And you start to find out, first of all, there's no such thing as somebody that's been through trauma that hasn't healed from it that doesn't have a reaction to it. And when somebody, especially when you get into abandonment issues and things like that, or sexual issues, you know, things that have happened, there's, because they haven't healed, they have a reaction to it, and either they lash out or they shut down.
I think that we all have a responsibility to at least some of the things, the important things that we've been through, that we need to say these things up front. And
yes,
I do understand a woman's point, because, you know, if she can't trust you with that information, she ain't going to give it to you.
Yep.
And certain things, you know, you are going to keep. You know what I mean? If you used to be a drug dealer when you was 18 and you 40 now, I don't really think you need to bring that into the marriage, unless you got thoughts of being a drug dealer again. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things that you don't need, because it may not have affected you in a way that it can affect her. But a certain situation where, you know, you talk about the abandonment issue and you talk about the abuse issue, it's going to come out. It's going to come out.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How much of your past sexual experience should you talk about?
That could cause a problem, because nobody wants to hear that. If it wasn't abuse, nobody wants to hear it.
Sound like nobody don't want to hear it on this phone either.
Exactly.
How much honesty do you really want? I mean, getting naked, getting bare, how much do you really want?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's nice to say, well, you know what, you know, we've been virgins till we got married and we walk in that way. But 99% of the time, somebody's done tapped something.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm just talking real talk. You know, how much of that do you really need to know?
None of it.
I mean, you don't want to hear about, you know, Leroy the gunslinger.
But guess what? It's got nothing to do with me.
That's right. You don't want to hear about Long Dong Silver.
No.
You don't want to hear about the trip she made to Jamaica. You know what I mean?
And that's how
she got a groove back, right?
But know about that, because you don't want to marry that girl. I mean, truth be told, you know, you don't want to marry the freak of the week. You just want her to be your
friend. Happens all the time.
That's right. You want her to be
they
your
marry
freak.
Somebody.
You don't want her to be the freak.
But guess what? But guess what? It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't know how many. You don't know how many sex partners your wife has had. I mean, really? Because I mean, it's up to them whether they want to share that information with you. And 9 times out of 10, what happened before you all is none of your business.
That's right. Now here's the thing: you guys go out to dinner and you see a dude that you slept with,
and vice versa.
Right. I mean, how much do you really want to know?
Okay, here's the test. Here's the test. Here's the test. I'm going to tell you. Here it is. And I hope you all agree with me. If the first time you hit it and you get invited back, that means you pass the test. That means all those other brothers before you don't matter. Because you don't pass the test. You had got invited back. If you don't, if you didn't get invited back, then those brothers before you mattered.
Oh, man. That's good.
He's bringing the wood.
He is.
If you ain't bringing the wood, you ain't getting invited back. It's, I mean, you know, that's it is what it is.
That's the rule.
That's the rule. That's a clear indication of
that, Tony.
Of, yeah, go ahead.
It's almost like, because I said so.
Oh,
yeah, you're
man.
Not gonna be. I mean, you may get invited back because you are a good provider, you know, or some other reason.
Now that's lucky. That's
last long.
You know what I mean? I mean that happens.
His long dog Silver's gonna be on the side bringing the wood.
He's gonna be on the side knocking it down.
Be on the side
for sure. For sure.
So would y'all say that if you did, if, you know, Long Dong Silver did come back into the picture after finding out, excuse me, after finding out your wife is cheating on you, is it a mistake to inflict bodily harm on the man she was cheating with?
Heck no.
How do you know this conversation is recorded?
I'm just saying, you know, after finding out she's cheating, is it a mistake? Is it a mistake in a marriage? Finding out a wife is cheating on you, is it a mistake to inflict bodily harm on the man that she was cheating with?
No, I don't think so.
So that's approved. Everybody agree.
What if it's your next door neighbor?
Different.
Who's been over your house and ate dinner with y'all?
He needs a beat down.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's even more of a reason.
How does he get a pass? How does he get a pass?
It sounds like he said either, you know, you're going to get your beat down in your house or
you're getting
house.
A beat down in
you
your
know.
House or in the yard. In between,
yeah.
However, it's got to happen.
Because
you already know. You already know. That's another man's wife. You know this is this man's wife. And then
and you know, every time you walk out the house, he's coming through the back door.
That's the beat down.
Yeah, you know, there's some things that are just unacceptable.
And that's one of them.
That's right, and when you go to trial, they understand that.
No.
What about, is it a mistake after finding out your wife was cheating on you, inflicting bodily harm on her?
Yeah, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah, I mean, you can't do that.
No.
No, you can't do that.
You beat your neighbor down.
You beat your neighbor. That's man to man right there.
Right. That, now you got to fight. See, my wife, you know, I don't know y'all know this, but in her previous marriage, she was physically abused, and she would tell me, yeah, you know, me and my ex, we would fight. I'd say, honey, you can't fight with your ex. Oh, yeah, we'd fight. I'd get my licks, and I said, let me tell you something, honey. I said, you and I cannot have a fight, okay? I said, because I would hit you, and you would hit the ground, all right? It's not a fight. I said, that's abuse, okay? A man and a woman can't have a fight, all right, because a man physically, you know, it's not a fight. That's abuse
hey,
in my
hey, opinion. Andrew, that says a lot about her ex, though. Come on now.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying that a man and a woman aren't going to have a fight, all right? You know, a man and a woman can't have a physical fight because he is so much stronger than her, you know, not unless she has an equalizer, he's going to abuse her. You know, that's not a fight in my book.
That's
a man
a
can't fight
that's
a woman.
A that's abuse.
Yeah, that's domestic abuse. But what about, let me rewind that a little bit. What about the, you know, mistakes that men make not being able to control our anger, you know, having temper tantrums, yelling, cursing, you know, just stop short of the whole domestic dispute thing, you know, being emotionally and mentally abusive, you know, along that line. You know, how does that affect is that a mistake?
Definitely.
I think we talked about it before. You know, we have to, you know, be able to temper our anger, and not be, you know, not be going off, you know, flying off the handle and stuff like that with her. Because, I mean, it, I think that, as we talked about with the emotional affair, that probably leads to domestic abuse at some point.
Yeah, but you got some also situations where it's, and believe me, it's not acceptable at all, period. But there's some situations where, you know, you have a very aggressive spouse.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That likes to talk to you any kind of way and, you know, belittle you as a man. You know, so, you know, and we hear about men dealing with that too.
Yeah.
And they get to a breaking point where it's like, well, you know, I am a man. You need to realize that. You know, certain times. And again, the abuse, physical abuse, is never, I mean, you have to learn how to defuse it or walk away from the situation. But there are some men that just get provoked on a daily basis.
That's exactly right. And I've met some women that get up on a man. I'm like, man, you need to beat that ass. you need to straighten out that woman.
I mean, but look, you're right, though. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to regain your manhood.
But you see, here's the bottom line. The problem wasn't that she got in his face. The problem was he didn't straighten it up from the jump.
From the first day.
Okay. You see, because if he'd straightened that up from the jump, she wouldn't have thought she had the ability to step up in this man's face. See, because I'm going to tell you, there ain't a woman on the planet could step up on my face like that. Because I would straighten it up from the jump. But you see, once you let that happen, then she thinks, you know, she owns your gonads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to straighten it up from the jump. Say, look, you ain't going to speak to me like this. Okay? You know, your last nigga, you might have spoke to him anywhere. You ain't going to speak to me like this. You know, you straighten that up, you get up in her face, and that's going to end that. You see, but if you let that go and she has beaten you and now you know, you walk into the bathroom, pull up your skirt and taking a leak, that's a different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, because, Andrew, it doesn't stop there. You being disrespected to family reunions. Thanksgiving with family around. She's carrying
the man
in front of her sisters.
Man's call, busting you out. I mean,
come
this
on,
kind
man.
Of, you know, and it gets to a point that she owns you. And it's not a situation that just happened, you know, one time. This is a situation that it's almost like your kids. Your kids don't get to a point where they jump in your face and tell you they're going to kick your MF in behind.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a situation that started when they were 2 years old and they cut their eyes at you and you were okay with it and you thought it was cute. And it then escalated them telling you no. You know, then it's like them jumping in your face. Next thing you know, they're slapping you down. It didn't escalate, you know, one day you walking down the street and your wife decides she's going to knock the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
What about being unforgiving? Is that a mistake that most men make, keeping score?
I think if you beat that ass, you ain't got to worry about it.
But I mean, really, is that a mistake? Are we sometimes just?
I really don't have a lot of men having that, doing that. I don't have a lot of men, and I could be wrong again. I don't think that's a man thing. And the reason why I say that is because we have a sense of purpose 99% of the time, and keeping score and being mad about stuff and not forgiving puts a roadblock up to some of the achievements that we're trying to reach.
Yeah, but I think there are some things that men just have a difficult time forgiving, like, you know, Long Dong Silver.
Yeah, I mean, but that's adultery. That, I mean, that's that. I don't know if you were talking about that, Rodney.
No,
because that's
no,
extreme.
Yeah, but I mean, T-Hawk, don't you think that you know, we sometimes men have a little bit too much pride, you know, and that can lead into being unforgiving.
But a man's pride in a marriage, and again, this is just me talking. A man.
Yeah.
For me, if this that time of the week for
mm-hmm.
romance or whatever the case may be, pride is going to get in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anger, all that's going to get in the way of that. So at some point I got to say, you know what, I can't come in here mad. I'm going to have to find a way to get past it so I can get, or we can have some happy time. Because you can't have happy time being all mad.
Right.
You know, and that's important to us. It's like when we talked about it earlier, we can have the flu and still need our happy time.
Right.
got to do with anything.
Right, right.
Exactly. But women can hold that grudge. They can, you know, yeah, remember back in 1987? You ain't holding that door for me.
Wow. 87.
You'd be like, man, I forgot there was an 87. And here you go remembering about 87.
Wow, good words. I want to shut this thing down. I'm getting close here, fellas. Good chat. I just got a few more. We'll roll this thing over to open mic. But I want to touch back on something that T-Hawk said earlier. Do men make the mistake of forgetting that it's till death do you part and not willing to fight and go to war for your marriage? Essentially just giving up on your marriage. And I think we just talked about that last month about, you know, how do you go to war for your marriage, you know, when you're the only one on the battlefield? I mean, wow. Do we forget that it's till death do you part? I mean, are we sometimes men just like, you know what, I'm done with this. You know,
I personally feel like just me being on this call,
yeah,
you know, a lot, you know, makes me, you know, I don't forget. You know what I mean? Like, this is me trying or whatever, listening to other people's experiences out there.
Wow.
Wow.
So. Right. Wow. So you're saying that if you didn't have this, you could possibly be in divorce court, essentially.
Well, I mean, it's a possibility, you know what
right.
I mean? But it's just like a lot of things I hear y'all saying, you know, I go through the same thing. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one. You know what I mean? Like, even the whole thing we was talking about with the, you know, not cleaning up, because as y'all said that, I put the phone on mute again and started straightening up the kitchen. I was like, well, let me wash the dishes. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's, you know, that this is me trying right here. So I get like little tidbits and I'm like, all right, you know, I
yeah.
try to throw it at her and see, you know, how she responds.
And that's the whole point of why we do this day, because we're not alone. All this stuff, you know, we talk about mistakes tonight. Yes, we all the same, you know. And if we haven't been through it or not going through it, we'll go through it in the future.
Ronnie, I did a show a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, might have been a year and a half ago, and I was out of town in Miami, and it was my night to moderate. I don't remember the topic,
mm-hmm.
but I remember the content of the call. And I couldn't get a signal in the hotel, so I had to moderate the show from my rental car. Right?
Yeah.
Rodney was on the show. And I'll
I
never
think
forget
Rodney
that.
Is still on the show. Rodney, you still there? He might be. Go ahead.
I'll never forget this. And this is just along the lines with what you said. He said that a man, a true head of household, responsibility is no matter what's happening in that house, if the ship is a wreck, he needs to get that ship back in order, smooth sailing by any means necessary. And it stuck with me, because now we think about being on a battlefield and being the only one. I mean, what if you are in the battlefield and you're the only one fighting? As the head of household, what do? Do you rally up the troops? Or do you go to war by yourself?
So what should I put in the pipe to clean, you know, when I hurt the hook or everything, I just put that liquid there?
Couldn't hear
oh.
you, sir.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
Could you repeat that, sir? You kind of muffled, sir.
I think that was a sidebar conversation.
Okay. But, T-Hawk, that was actually my next question, you know, as I close this thing down. Many marriage mistakes most men make. Is it a mistake to not know what it really means to be a head of household? And if y'all remember, some of y'all that's been hanging with us for almost 3 years, I did a show on what it means, what it actually means to be a head of household. You know, being dependable and responsible, as T-Hawk just said, walking the talk. Because actions do speak louder than words. I mean, when you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. And I think that's what, you know, we're talking about here is that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of men don't know what it means and don't know what it takes to be a head of household. I don't know if y'all agree with that or not. I mean, we do, and as the brother said, he's on here, you know, trying and, you know, trying to get the word and, you know.
You know, I think a lot of men don't even know it's their responsibility to be the head of household.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have grown up into this, oh, this is a 50-50 deal. Okay, so both of us run this. Instead of understanding, there always has to be one head, because if it's two heads, you got a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has to be responsible. Somebody, the buck has to stop somewhere. If you have a company and there's two presidents, and both of them are going in different directions, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There only can be one president, can only be one head. That doesn't mean that he's more important. It just means he has the ultimate responsibility.
That's right. Elected
yep.
president.
Mm-hmm.
Elected. Okay, you are the president. I elect you as the president. I elect you, my husband, as the head of household. You are the head of household.
You see, now there's only one thing I differ from you with that.
Well, maybe not elect, because you that's your role once you step
ordained.
Into it.
Ordained.
There you
yeah.
go.
You have been ordained, appointed the head of household. It's not an election. Y'all don't go and say, let's take a vote and see who's
going
to be
yeah.
your term. And you know what? Unless I impeach you, you got it for 4 years. And then we'll see in 4 years who's the next head. No. There has been an ordained, appointed head of household from the creator of this universe.
No. You're right. But the wife still has to pick you.
Well,
once you are the one, then you're the head of household.
Down the road, you're going to have issues. And that's why it's so important to lay these things out in the beginning. If you have good premarital counseling, if you have good situation, then you discuss these things and you talk about what your understanding is. And there's so many people that have it screwed up and think, you know what, I will give you respect only if I deem you have earned it. I will only respect you as the head if I deem you've earned it. And if next year you stop earning it, I'll stop respecting you. Head of household, the head of the house, is not a situation of whether you've earned the head of household. You've been appointed the head of household, and that's the fact. And so many times, men don't understand that, and they give that role to the wife, and she doesn't really want the pants.
Right.
But a lot of times, she has to wear it because the man's giving it to her.
Yeah, but it's still respect, though, Andrew. It's still got to be. I mean, you still have to. You can't do it without
respect. The wife has to submit.
Yeah, but you wouldn't marry
that
if you saw it from the jump and somebody pointed that out and said, look, okay, she doesn't see that, and she doesn't respect that, and she wants to be running the home. And if you say, well, that's okay with me, she's too damn fine, that's what you bought.
Yeah, I mean, but for how many times do we hear about the man that says, I'm the head of this household? My food better be ready, my clothes better be washed, the kids better be taken care of, everything better be right when I get home from work.
But that's not head of household, that's dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but still they call themselves the head of the house. I'm the man of this house.
Again, it comes down to, let's define what that means. Head of household means responsibility.
You're right. But with that, then what is that going to drive? A lack of respect from the woman. Because she says, you're the head, but I'm doing everything up in here.
And the
Don't
bottom
come in
line,
here at 9 o'clock at night telling me how to run this house. And I've been here since 4.
But it comes down to the same thing. All right, and understanding, and you as a couple going through and understanding, you know, one of the biggest things is, and I think Rodney's real key on this, definitions. People have different definitions for the same word. Let's define what this means.
Cool.
Okay.
And I think to bring both of y'all together, because y'all are saying the same things, but, you know, the bottom line is, you know, men make the mistake of not taking the full advantage of householdstress.com. Because a lot of this stuff can be worked out right on householdstress.com. That's a plug.
Good plug.
yeah. Y'all
shameless,
speaking
shameless.
The truth. Yeah, shameless plug. But
Andrew was 100% right about that. You know, a lot of people talk about the fact that I'm the head of the house. Head of the house doesn't mean like, you know, to dictate. If you really look at it scripturally, man, if you're not following God, your wife truly don't have to follow you. And I'm going to be honest with you, man.
There it is.
And that's the truth, because if you think about it, imagine if you were a believer, I mean, she's a believer, you're not a believer, and you try to tell her to do something contrary to what she believes. You think she's going to follow you?
Yeah, but again, B, what if she just don't respect you because you're saying, your mouth says one thing, but your actions say something totally different?
Actions say something totally different, too. Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times, I mean, biblically speaking, if you really investigate, look into it, if you're truly not following God, she really don't have to follow you. I'm going to be honest with you. My phone might be dying out on you. No.
You're good, and you're right where we need to be, B. Thank you for that. Because I want to ask y'all this. Talking about many marriage mistakes most men make. Do you pray for your wife?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Do most men make the mistake of not praying for their wife, or maybe not even praying at all?
That's a big mistake.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I can agree with some men not praying at all. But that's our job, to get them to Christ. So.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, oftentimes, you know, we think that sometimes, you know, we run in the house and everything, but we forget that we need to check in and talk to the guy that's really running the thing. Because as we talk about mistakes, you know, many marriage mistakes that most men make, I mean, the biggest mistake is not making God the central and most important part of your marriage.
No, that's right.
Well, that's the bottom line.
The
thing to understand also is that this is a big deal, marriage. Marriage is probably the biggest move that any of us have ever made. And it's probably the hardest job that any of us have ever had, because you're maintaining one person. It's easy, like we said, it's easy to flip 10. But trying to maintain one and be faithful and hold that title, head of the household, to its description, is very difficult. So you have to know your power source. You got to have it, because without a power source, you ain't going to make it.
That's right.
You ain't going to make it. You got to be able to go somewhere into a closet and say, look, I'm dealing with this, and it's killing me. I need some help. Send me some help. You got to be able to go to your power source. And when you're in there with your power source, mention her. Say, and she's dealing with it too. Send her some help.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good words.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, B. No, I said I didn't want to get off the topic, but does anybody listen to Michael Bazin's show, man?
No.
I have.
We have before.
This guy today was talking some straight nonsense today, and his question of the day was, do you think that marriages should be contractual to the degree that it should be like a two-year increments, and if you're not happy with that person, you can automatically annul your marriage.
Yeah, actually, B, hold that thought, because
I agree with that at one point back in the day.
Hey, B, hold that, because I actually wanted to bring that.
Okay.
And it's not coming from Michael Bazin. It's actually it's from Mexico. But I do want to talk about it in the open mic. But you know, Andrew mentioned something, you know, that I like to go to the dictionary. And, you know, just to close this thing up, the dictionary defines mistake as an error in action, calculation, opinion, or judgment caused by poor reasoning, carelessness, insufficient knowledge, a misunderstanding, or misconception. Everyone makes mistakes, so conflicts in marriage are bound to occur. But if both people are submitted to Christ, as my brother T-Hawk just said, these conflicts will be minimal. If you find that arguments are frequent, or if arguments seem to characterize your marriage, then the problem is a spiritual one.
Mm-hmm.
If this is the case, the couple should recommit themselves to prayer and submission to Christ first,
mm-hmm.
then to one another in an attitude of love and respect. The blessings and peace that we gain from humbly surrendering and submitting ourselves to Him are a gift of grace that nothing in this world can compare to. That concludes this segment of our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope that you enjoyed this show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... If marriage had a personality, what would it be?
Wow.
Wow, look at that. I think y'all are excited already. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. That website, again, is householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.
Good job, man.